we have seen his glory. These are the words that John writes as he begins his gospel. Words of great power. Yes, words that can change your life today. We have seen his glory. Are you included in that we? Have you seen Christ's glory? For 51 years. 51 years. Bob Edens was blind. Perhaps you heard the story of Bob Edens. It was well known several years ago. For 51 years, he could not see anything. His world was literally a black hole. However, Bob did not let that stop him. He lived an amazing life in his darkness. He graduated from Fulman University. He got married and had a daughter. He even coached a little league baseball team. Amazingly, through all those things, he was totally and completely blind. But suddenly, one day, after 51 years, Bob Edens could see. For his time developed in technology, finally a surgeon was able to have the skill and the ability to repair a detached retina and to perform a corneal transplant. And now suddenly, Bob Edens could actually see. He was overwhelmed, saying, "I never dreamed that yellow could be so yellow. I could see the shape of the moon for the first time. You know, I could see jet contrails in the skies. It was amazing. And of course, most beautiful of all were sunsets and sunrises that people would talk about. Oh, those colors. For me, my favorite colors are orange and red. Darkness. Blindness. You realize the Bible begins in darkness? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. You know, the Jewish calendar, and the way the Jews number their days and count their days is different than ours. You realize that the Jews begin their day with sunset rather than sunrise? Their day begins in darkness. John begins his gospel in darkness as well. We didn't read verse 5, but there we read these famous words, "The light shined in the darkness." This is not a coincidence. This is not an accident. It's God's providential hand guiding the writers of Scripture. Because God wants to show to us Christ's glory. Glory that only those who look upon Christ can see. For without Christ Jesus, my friends, we dwell in darkness. We are literally, spiritually blind. You know, it's not that hard to see, really, to see that we're blind. Evidence is everywhere. I mean, look at the glories of God's creation. And yet, how many days have you taken the glories of God's creation for granted? What about God's goodness? You know, it seems like we go through a whole year, and then suddenly on Thanksgiving Day, we wake up to the fact that God has been good to us. And we've been blind to the goodness of God all year long. Or what about all the people, the special people God places in your life? Your spouse, your children, your grandchildren. Yeah, even your pets. And yet we take these precious souls for granted most of the time. We're blind. And all this blindness that we can see so clearly are only symptoms of a greater, more serious blindness, a spiritual blindness. Of course, we're blind to who Christ is. When Paul was writing the Corinthian church, he was bemoaning his nations, the nation of Israel's rejection of Christ. And what he says is, he says that God had placed a veil, so to speak, over their eyes. So they were blinded to the glory of Christ. We attend church. We sing Christmas carols. We hear the gospel preached. We celebrate the sacraments. And yet through it all, we can miss God's glory. And in missing God's glory, we miss who Jesus is. We don't receive Jesus as our King. Today, my prayer is that you will see Jesus, that you will see His glory. I know this isn't Christmas Day, it's the day after Christmas, but let's play like it is Christmas. Here we are, celebrating the birth of Jesus. He's in the manger. Do you see Jesus' glory? John did. As we read earlier, did he not say, the true light, which gives light to everyone, has come into the world. He says, we have seen his glory. What do we need? Well, we need Christ to open our eyes. This blindness that I've been talking about, it can be lifted. You could have kind of like that surgery that gave Bob Edens his sight if you simply see Jesus for who he is. For again, as Paul says to the Corinthian church, we have had the veil removed. We have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen the movie, The Field of Dreams? Kevin Costner plays the part of the farmer, the Ohio farmer, who has a cornfield that he makes into a baseball field. There's where that movie where he had the famous line, if you build it, they will come. And oh, they came all right. In the movie, long dead Major League Baseball players showed up. Even shoeless Joe Jackson from the Chicago White Sox showed up. But Bray had a problem, didn't he? No one else could see all these players. And not only that, because he had taken up so much of his field, so much of his time, he was going bankrupt. Bray's brother-in-law was, like all brother-in-laws, were looking after his sister, and he was beside himself. Remember, he yelled at his brother, Ray, you're going to lose your farm. You built a baseball field, and you just sit here, and you stare at nothing. But then one day, his brother-in-law, Mark, totally changed. For he saw. He's no longer blind. He saw the players. And oh boy, his tune changed, didn't he? Then he said, oh Ray, please, of all things, don't sell the farm. You can't sell it. Because he saw. John wants us to see the glory of Jesus. You know, John's gospel was really interesting. Because one of the themes he has through the whole book is the theme of seeing. At the very end, he says, I write all these things so that you may believe, and it's believing that you may have eternal life. He begins his gospel with John the Baptist saying, see, see, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Later on in that chapter, Philip invites Nathanael to hear Jesus. And he says to him, Nathanael, come and see. The Samaritan woman in chapter 4 says to all the people in the village, come and see a man who told me everything I did. On Palm Sunday, we hear these words, see, your king comes to you. That same day, some Greeks came to Philip, and they said, sir, we wish to see Jesus. On Easter morning, Mary was beside herself with joy, and she said, I have seen the Lord. And of course, there's that famous verse in John chapter 9, verse 25, where the blind man says, or the man who was blind, much like Bob Eden's, I was blind, but now I see. This morning is our opportunity to see Jesus. That little baby born in the manger, lying in a straw in such mean a state. That little baby who will grow up, be beaten. That sweet little face beaten with fists. That precious little head will bear a crown of thorns. Those little hands will be nailed to a cross. You see, Jesus is a baby like none other. He's a man like none other. For in Jesus, all the glory of God is revealed in human form of all things. It's as if the doors of heaven are open and we can walk in and we can see God's glory. That's what John is saying. We need to see that glory. Don't let the distress you may be feeling today blind you to his glory. Don't look back and be defeated. Don't be distracted by what's going on. Fix your eyes on Jesus and see his glory. How did John see his glory? You know, sometimes the gospel writers can tell us more by what they don't tell us than what they do. Now, we know that John saw the transfiguration, for he talks about that in his first epistle. But unlike the other three gospels, he doesn't talk about the transfiguration in his gospel. That's interesting. You know, something as mighty as that, something so glorious as that, you would think he would include it. And sometimes, you know, scholars had scratched their heads and said, well, why did John leave this out? We clearly knew about this story. Why didn't he include that story? Well, I think he wanted to leave it out because as glorious and as important as the transfiguration was, as important of all as Jesus' miracles were and all the other glorious things Jesus did, John wanted us to see the glory of Jesus and the glory of God upon the cross. On Palm Sunday, Jesus set his face, Scripture says, like flint to the cross. And he says these words in John chapter 12, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. In the upper room, right after Judas Iscariot had betrayed him, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified. Later that evening in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says, Father, the hour has come to glorify your Son. Do you hear what John's trying to tell us? He's trying to say, if you really want to see the glory of Jesus, look at the place the world thinks is least glorious. Look to the cross. Look to the cross. You know, you'd never expect it, would you? The Romans would say that the cross was the place of utter, vile death. It seems as though the cross is so outrageous that we almost don't believe it. In the second century, a Christian by the name of Milo Sardis wrote these words about the almost unbelievable message of the cross. He says, "He who hung the earth in its place hangs upon a cross. He who fixed the heavens is fixed upon a tree. The master has been insulted. God has been murdered." Who would have believed it? That ugly cross. But that's why Jesus came. That's why he was born as a baby. He came so that you could see. You see, you can't see by being honest and moral. You can't see by being religious and devout. You can't see by trying harder and to do more good works to win God's favor. You can only see by seeing your need for a Savior and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And in seeing what Jesus did for you on the cross, for there on the cross, he died the death that you deserve to die. He shed the blood that you should have shed. There on the cross, he gives you eternal life. There on the cross, he opens your eyes. A child once wrote to Santa these words, "Dear Santa, you didn't bring me anything good last year. You didn't bring me anything good the year before that either. This is your last chance, Santa." Signed, Alfred. Now, another child wrote, "Dear Santa, three little boys live in my house. There's Jeffrey, he's 2. There's David, and he's 4 years old. And there's Norman, that's me, I'm 7. Jeffrey's never very good. David's sometimes good. Norman, I'm always good." Brothers and sisters, none of us are normal. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If winning God's favor depended upon us being good, we would all have lumps of coal in our stockings on Christmas morning. But Jesus came to die for our sins. That's why it's so important that we see Jesus in his glory upon the cross. That's why John focuses upon the glory of the cross. Walt Disney was one of the most visionary people who've ever lived, making groundbreaking movies, advancing cartoon animation to new levels, and of course building Disneyland and Disney World. When Disney World first opened, Mrs. Walt Disney, her name was Lillian, was asked to speak at the grand opening. Walt had just died shortly before Disney World opened. And as she was introduced to some of the dignitaries that were going to be attending, one of the men asked her, "Miss Disney, I just wish that Walt could have seen this." The words kind of bothered her, stuck in her craw, so to speak. And so, as she was thinking about what she was going to say, kind of reviewing her prepared speech, she decided just to throw it away. She wasn't going to say anything she had prepared. And she got up and she said, "I just heard a man ask me, I wish Walt could have seen all this." Paused, and she simply said, "He did." And she sat down. How about you? Do you see it? Do you see God's big picture for you and your life? Do you see God's glory? Do you see God's glory? God's glorious plan of salvation upon the cross? In our scripture reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians, we heard these words. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son to be born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. Bob Eden's waited 51 years for the fullness of time so he could receive the surgery that he needed. What we just heard from Paul is that we don't have to wait 51 years, even 51 seconds. It's all been accomplished. When the fullness of time came, Jesus died upon the cross to provide our salvation. Do you see it? Do you see his glory? Not only the glory of the manger, but the glory of the cross. Oh, especially the glory of the cross. By receiving Jesus Christ as your King and your Savior, you no longer have to be blind. I was once blind, the man said, but now I see. What about you? Do you see the glory of Christ? Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we know that nothing short of the powerful operation of the Holy Spirit can open the eyes of the blind. And so we as a people pause this day for you to work a miracle. To work a miracle among all of us who are sitting here this day, all who are listening to this sermon upon our live stream, or on the radio, or on the recording at a later date, that all of our eyes would be opened and see the glory of God in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we would receive our King who's also our Savior. And in receiving him, that we may have our eyes opened and our lives transformed by the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. The angel saw.